We're living a day when people don't have any direction. I've never seen such a wandering generation like this generation that has, that look like have nowhere to go. They set no goals in their life. And I want to tell you something. The Lord can give you direction for your life. The Bible said in verse number 6 of Proverbs 3, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, if that's right, if God has ways and God has paths, then I'd say that directions are real important. I believe that we ought to have direction in our life. I was studying that, looking up other words that were connected with that word, ways, and God talks about a way, God talks about a course, God talks about a track, God talks about a route, God talks about a path, a road, a street, and a highway. I believe that God is interested in directions. Amen or not? Listen to what He said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God said there's a direction to go. I am the way. I am the direction. If you don't come to Him, you'll not get saved. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is talking about direction. Well, I was studying that, and I always like to look at a biblical concept. What does the Bible say about direction? And I was studying that, and I found out that the Hebrews used at least three methods to tell direction. One of them was basic direction, just common sense. Another one was local geography. They would see a path through the mountains, and they know that that's a certain direction. And then the main thing that they used was the position of the sun. When the sun came up in the morning, it came out of the east, settled in the west. And so they had the north on the left, the south on the right, the east in one direction, the west in another. And they set all their directions by the east. Now, I found out there's three things in common. Number one, we know direction by common sense. I mean, we need to have a generation just have some plain old common sense. Amen? I want to tell you, liquor is going to kill you. Pornography is going to ruin your life. Dope is going to destroy your mind. That is just plain common sense not to go in that direction. Then circumstances, when circumstances come up, the geography of life, that ought to cause us to know which direction we should go. And then the sun coming up in the east was a sign of false religion. And I'm saying that where the enemy is, we ought to go in the other direction. Amen or not? So we see that the Hebrews, when they said north, south, east, and west, it was real important to them to know where the direction was. In fact, they divided the world into four parts, and they turned them the four corners of the earth. So I'm noticing something when I was studying these directions, that nowhere in the Bible does it say northeast or southwest or anything like that. It was always north or south or east or west. You know what? God doesn't confuse the issue. Amen? With God, everything is black and white. Everything's right or wrong. God never confuses the issue. And when God says a direction is wrong, God does not confuse the issue. And I looked this up and I started studying this, and it's amazing how these things are so predominant in the Word of God. God talks about the east, God talks about the north, God talks about the south, God talks about the west. And when you look at every one of His directions, it had a spiritual meaning. I did not know that. Of course, a lot of things I don't know. But when I began to study this, every one of these directions had a spiritual meaning. Now, let's look at the four of them right quick. Number one, the east. The east was where the sun rose in the morning. And did you know that was the direction of repentance? For the Jews, the basic direction, when they wanted to know where to go, the first thing they do was find out where the sun rose in the morning. Right? And the sun rose in the east. Now, that's important to know that because in Canaan and in the land of the Hebrews, all the heathen worship the sun. By the way, the heathen still do worship the sun. Amen? I'm just simply saying that Israel came a time that the Bible said that the priests of Israel worshiped the sun in idolatry. The Bible said in Ezekiel 8:16, They worship the sun toward the east. Now, that talks about worshiping in the sensual flesh of this body. I want there's a lot of people today are worshiping sensual, sexual flesh. Amen? So when you talk about sun god worship, it is nothing more than the worship of the sensual. It is no more than the worship of the flesh. We're living in a day of flesh worshipers. Amen? We're living that day. So the Bible said that when they saw that where that sun came up, and when they determined the direction, they'd always find out where the sun rose. And they would call the east the front. Sometimes they called it the place of dawning. But the south was called the rear. The east was called the east was called the front, and the west was called the rear. And then you have the north and the south on the right and on the left. Now you say, preacher, why is that so important? It's because they use these directions as a place not to go. If the east was the front, then that means that if it's where the heathen worshiped, did you realize that that was something that was wrong? That God said, don't go in that direction. And if the west was called the rear, guess what? The world thinks of us like that. The world thinks of themselves as not being out front. The old-fashioned Baptists that believe the Bible, they're on the other spectrum. They're on the other side. And we're the rear end of the world as far as the world is concerned. Amen. I want to tell you something. I noticed this. It's so obvious in the Bible. When God told them to set up the tabernacle, He told them to set up the tabernacle from east to west. And they had the brazen altar out there towards the east, and they had the Holy of Holies sitting on the west side. So when that Israelite came to bring his lamb, or his turtle dove, or his bull to the tabernacle, he had to turn his back on the rising sun to offer a sacrifice down at the tabernacle. You know what I mean? I mean the Bible teaches us that the right direction for the child of God is the direction of repentance. Amen. Until a person turns their back on sin, they can never appreciate what Jesus did for them at Calvary. So I'm just simply saying, you say, preacher, what's wrong with this generation? They do not repent. They love the things of this world. And as long as a person loves the things of this world, they'll never appreciate what Jesus did for them at Calvary. Amen? We must determine that our direction is turned against the flesh and the works of evil. I was reading this week an illustration. This governor went down to a prison. And he said to the chaplain, said, I want to talk to every man that's on death row. I want to talk to them individually. And so they brought out, I forgot how many was on death row, but they brought them out one by one. And as he went through, this guy was saying, I shouldn't be here. Somebody else murdered that person. They ought to let me out. And they blamed everybody else. But there was one man that came up and said, I killed a man. I deserve to be here. But I believe I had a chance that I could turn out to be a good person. I've learned my lesson. You know who the governor pardoned? He didn't pardon the people that put the blame on everybody else. He pardoned the man that admitted that he was a criminal. Amen? I don't think why people don't get saved. They blame their problems on everybody else. They blame their sin on everybody else. But until a person comes to a place of repentance, that's that, not my brother, my sister, but it's me, O Lord, that stands in need of prayer, they never will get saved. So what do you have to do? The east talks about the direction of repentance. And so for a person to get right with God, they've got to turn their back on their sin and go towards God. As long as you love your sin, as long as you love the world, as long as you like to participate with the acts of the flesh, you'll never get saved. You've got to turn or burn. Amen. So I thought that was real significant that the east is the direction of repentance. But when I looked down to the north was always the direction of chastisement. Did you know every time God got ready to chastise Israel, The enemy came from the north. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Medes, the Persians always attacked Israel from the north. Now guess what? The heathen always took chastisement as a hindrance. But when people are lost and things go wrong, all they do is just blame everybody else and say, well, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time. But did you know the child of God looks upon chastisement not as a hindrance, but as a help? I want to say that while you sit here today that are saved, that you would not be in church if God had not chastised you and brought you back to the house of God. Amen? Or you say, preacher, I'm having a hard time. Well, I'll tell you why a lot of people have a hard time. They're saved by the grace of God, and God is not going to let them get by with their sin. So every time Israel backslid, God sent the enemy in from the north. And it was a chastisement. Remember when the psalmist said this? He said in Psalm 121, verse number 1, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Did you know the word north? That's a Hebrew word for a high mountain in Syria. And it means something that's dark and gloomy and unknown. And these Hebrews said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You know what he said? Said if God didn't chastise us every once in a while, said we'd been like Sodom and Gomorrah. But God dealt with us. Had God whipped us. Had God chastised us. Had God used the nations out of the north to bring us back into fellowship with God. Amen? Hey, the world looks on the dark and the gloomy and the unknown as a hindrance. But for you that are saved by the grace of God, aren't you glad God loves us enough that He doesn't let us live like we want to? It's a help. It's a help. I'm just simply saying that the lost look upon it like it's a hindrance. When the lost person loses their job, when the lost person gets sick, when the lost person, when things go wrong, you know what they do? They curse God. They forsake God. But when a child of God, when troubles and trials and persecution, it causes them to look towards God and say, there must be something in my life that caused me to get in this situation. Amen. It draws us closer to God. You know what Job said? What's Job known for? Trouble. He said a man was born of woman. He said his days are full of trouble. Job was afflicted with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Job lost his fortune. Job lost his family. Job lost his finances. But you know what Job said? Job 37, Job 23 and 10. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. Job said, I'm telling you what I'm going through. That's not a hindrance. But what I'm going through is to reveal what's wrong with me in order that I can be purified and come out as pure gold. Amen. I'm just simply saying that when you look to the north, it is always the direction of chastisement. So don't move north, you're going to get chastised. I've never heard of anybody going north to retire. Amen. They always come south to retire. Amen. But the east is the direction of repentance. But north is the direction of chastisement. But when the Bible speaks of north in the Bible, there is always a way of chastising the people of God to get them to turn to God. I want to tell you something. When things come in your life, I want to tell you something. The first thing you ought to do is check up, make sure that you're right with God. Because sometimes troubles and trials and persecutions come because we're out of the will of God. Amen? But I noticed something else. There's the east. That's the direction of repentance. We're to turn our back on the gods of this world. There's the north. That's chastisement to get us to come back to God. But then there's the direction of the south. The south, that's the direction of the backslider. And all you Yankees say amen now. The south was the direction of the backslider. Every time somebody went south in the Bible, they were backslid. I want to tell you something. Did you know the word south in the Bible is the Hebrew Negev, N-E-G-E-V. And did you know there's a town in Palestine today that's called Negev? And the word Negev means the south And the word Negev means a dry spot in the south. That means a parched land in the south. They probably took it from those drying winds. They came out of the south from Syria. They came and dried. That made a desert there in Palestine. Now you say, preacher, why does it say that it's a dry, parched land? Because that is the position of everybody that backslides on God. When you backslide on God, you're as dry as last year's corn shucks. Amen. I tell you, when you backslide on God, nothing is right. That's just like your tongue is parched. That's just like you're dying of thirst. That is the direction of a backslider. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 55, and when you see the south wind blow, you say, there shall be heat, and it cometh to pass. God said, when the south wind blows, it's going to get hot, and it's going to come to pass. And just as sure as you get out of the will of God and backslide on God, it's going to get hot around your house. It's going to get dry around your house. And it is going to come to pass. Amen? I was amazed when I was reading this and studying this that, you know, the word south is sometimes applied to a dry tract of land. Let me read it to you. In Judges 1:15, Caleb's daughter, and she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me the south land, give me also springs of water. She said, you gave me a desert, but said, I need springs of water. Now, you know what the only remedy for a dry tract of land is? It's for rivers of living water. Amen? I would tell you something right now. You can try everything that you want to try, but until you get right with God, you're going to walk in a dry and a thirsty land. And nothing but getting right with God will ever restore what sin has taken away. Amen. Amen. I guarantee there's somebody here today that's just as saved as I am, just as saved by the grace of God as anybody sitting in this building tonight, that you've got out of the will of God. Ever since you got out of the will of God, it's been dry around your house. It's been a real desolate place around your house. Your life is nothing but a desert. Nothing grows in the desert. Nothing lives in the desert. The desert is a desolate place. There's a lot of God's children are living in dry, desolate, deserted places. And I want to tell you something. You're the most miserable person sitting in this building today. Amen. I'm just simply saying that the south was a place sometimes applied to a dry tract of land. But it's also used in a geographical sense. We live in the south. That is a truth of geography. The Bible said in Numbers 34:3, then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the coast of Sodom, of Edom. Now, God said the south would be on the coast of Edom. You know what Edom was? Edom was where Israel faced some of their sin that they committed years ago. And you know how you know when you get backslid on God? Sins that had been victory over, sins that you had conquered in your life, sins that you got rid of in your life. When you backslide, you know what they'll do? They'll resurrect to bother you again. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm glad when I got saved, I turned my back on sin. Amen. But I want to tell you something. When you backslide, just go towards the land of Edom, and those sins that you got rid of years ago, they'll come back to aggravate you and bother you again. Amen. That is a sign of a backslidden person. I want to tell you, when you're right with God, the sins of the past no longer bother you. When you get saved by the grace of God, those things that used to drag you under, they no longer bother you. But as soon as you get cold on God, the things that you got victory over will be the very things that will come knocking on your door. You're backslidden. And so I'm just simply saying that it's a geographical sense. You backslide on God, you're headed for the land of Edom. But I found out something else. The Bible said in Genesis 21, and Abraham journeyed from this toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. The Bible said that he went to the south, a picture of a man backsliding. And the Bible said that he sojourned in Gerar. Now, a sojourner is a foreign visitor that comes to another country only to stay a little while, but winds up staying a long time. Nobody ever intends to stay in a backslidden condition for a long time. But I want to tell you something. When you backslide on God and you commit sin one time, you'll find out that you'll begin to sojourn there and you'll stay there a lot longer than you thought that you would to start with. Amen. I'm telling you, there's people in bad shape tonight because they backslid one time and sin got a hold of them so strong that they haven't been able to break it loose. You'll become a sojourner. And I found out that this South Country, that the Bible says that Abraham went to, he said he dwelt between Kadesh and Shur. I had sojourned in Gerar. I found out that this was a dry country. I found out that it was a dry country that was situated only a few miles south of Hebron. What does that tell us? You don't have to go far to backslide. I'm telling you, you don't have to stay out of church for one Sunday to get backslid. Hey, you don't have to quit praying but one day to get backslid. I'm telling you, the land of the backslider is awfully close to the land of the person that's right with God. Amen. So we see the east is direction of repentance. We see the north is the direction of chastisement. We see the south is the direction of the backslider. What is the west a picture of? That's what we're preaching about today. This is a western day. What is the west? Did you know the west is the direction of salvation? I'm telling you what's true. When I teach on the church and I teach on the Bible and I teach on revival down at the Bible College, I want to tell you something. You know, when the church was started in Jerusalem, guess where she went? The church grew west. When the Bible was started in Jerusalem, and then they pushed it out of Jerusalem, the Bible went west. And if you'll study revival in the history of the world, revival always goes west. You know what Brother Alan Barker told me? He said, preacher, he said, I believe the next great revival that will take place in America will be in the west. Because he said the east is so saturated with religion. But said out west, there's a bunch of people that's never heard the gospel. And so I believe God is going to send revival to the west. Did you know he was telling the truth? Because in the Bible and in history, the church and the Bible and revival always went west. Isn't that amazing? Hey, you know where revival is breaking out right now? Australia. God had to go all the way around the world west. Now it's just finally getting in Australia. Wouldn't that be a blessing if God sent revival? Amen? I'm just simply saying, when you talk about the west, you're talking about the direction of salvation. Listen, all other directions receive their designation relative to the east. The worldly man looks upon himself as the front, the leader, the best. If you go out here today and ask that lost man, where is the best? You know what they point to? They point towards the world. But did you know that the lost man, he looks upon the church and the believer and the preacher as the worst. The east to them is the best. The west, the church, was called the rear. And the world looks upon the believer as the rear, the follower, the worst. Don't you know something? The world looks at the east and said, we've got it made. We're the ones. We're the best. We're popular. We got the prestige. We got the position. And they look at us on the west side and say, that crowd, they don't have the best. That's the scum of the earth. But you know what God does? Don't you know what God does? God straightens that out in the Word of God. Now, let me show it to you. Did you know in the Bible, the West was designated by two methods? The West is designated by the going down of the sun. If somebody says, where's West? I can picture where West is. The sun comes up over here in the morning. And it goes down over yonder in the afternoon. And somebody says, which way is the West? I said, that's where the sun goes down. You know what God is saying every time the sun goes down? The sun is going to go down on this world someday for the last time. Amen?
I mean, you better enjoy it while the sun's shining, because I'm telling you, the sun's going to go down on this world. Amen? They may be hooping it up. They may be having the parties. They may be having a good time. Every time that sun sets, God's preaching to this world that one day their good times is going to go down. Amen? I want to tell you something right now. You listen real good. If you're here today, lost out of God, the sun's going down on your life. I want to tell you something. The sun's going down in your life. Hey, can I say there'll be a time when the sun will peak at noon. The sun will peak at noon. And there'll be a time when you'll be having a good. But after that, I'm telling you, the sun's going to start falling in the west. And pretty soon the sun's going to go down in your life. Hey, the best's not ahead for you. The worst is ahead for you. They said, how do you know where the west is? They said, watch where the sun goes down. And the heathen, if you'd say, where is the west? They said, that's where the sun goes down. But did you know the Hebrews? They not only knew that the sun goes down in the west, but in the Bible, the way that they designated the west was the Mediterranean Sea. And the Mediterranean Sea, if you'd ask the Hebrew, where is west? They'd say, west is towards the Mediterranean Sea. The lost would say, west is where the sun goes down. But the Hebrew, the believer, God's people said, that's where the sea is. But I'll ask you something. Does it mean anything in the Bible in Micah 7:19, where he said, thou shalt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea? Amen? Thank God, I want to tell you something. You listen to me real good, and I'm trying to behave. But those that are lost out of God, the sun's going down. They're headed for judgment. But for us that are saved, we don't look at the going down of the sun, but we look at the sea where our sins have been cast at the depths of the sea. Amen. I want to tell you something. For those that are lost, there's nothing ahead of them but misery and destruction. But for us that are saved by the grace of God, thank God we're headed for the place where our sins have been taken care of. We're headed for a land that's fairer than day. Amen. Oh, it does matter. It does matter where direction is. Direction. And then, did you know, if you'd say to that Hebrew, where is west? The lost person would say, that's where the sun goes down. The Hebrew would say, that's where the sea is, where my sins are buried. But the Hebrew, every time they stopped in their travels in the desert, Moses would set up that tabernacle east to west. And they'd turn their back on the rising sun. Sun would come, they said, they'd turn their back on the rising sun. And they'd look towards the west. You know what they looked? They looked right through the door of the tabernacle, right by the 7 candlesticks, right by the table of showbread, right by the golden altar, right through the veil, and they'd see the Holy of Holies where the blood was applied for their sins. Amen? Thank God, I want to tell you something. The more light we have, the more satisfaction we have, the more prayers that we have. And thank God more than that. Thank God for the propitiation by the blood that was shed on the cross for us. And he said, as far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Well, you see, when they came up there to that brazen altar, they put that lamb on that brazen altar. And there that lamb would be judged for the sins of that Hebrew. And then that priest would go in there and go by and sprinkle that blood 28 times. And finally get to the Holy of Holies. And he'd sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat on the west end of that tabernacle. Somebody said, how far are our sins? Somebody said, we don't know as far as east is from west. Yes, I know that. I know that, but he's not talking about the distance. He's talking about direction. Because you know what happened? When Jesus died on the cross, he left the west and came down here to the east to put his blood on the cross that those that should have died could go west and have their place at the Holy of Holies at the perfection of Almighty God. Amen? Now, I want to tell you something right now. You look at somebody today, that's the same as pitiful. I mean, I'm so saved, it's just awful. I mean, I'm so saved that I could swing over hell on a broken cornstalk. Amen. I'm so saved that I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. You say, preacher, how safe are you? I'm as safe as Jesus is. Because he that knew no sin became sin for me, that I could be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what the whole thing about salvation is, Brother Billy? It's substitution. Salvation is not you holding on, doing the best you can, quitting everything in the book. Amen. Hey, you know what salvation is? Salvation is somebody that was righteous taking a place of somebody that was unrighteous. That the person that was unrighteous to take the place of him that was righteous. Amen. You say, where is that righteous place? It's over there on the west side of the tabernacle. You say, but there's not an altar back. There's not a mercy seat back there anymore. I know there's not an earthly tabernacle, but the Bible said in Hebrews that the earthly tabernacle was comprised or patterned after the heavenly tabernacle. Hey, where's the heavenly tabernacle? It's in the west side of glory where the blood of Jesus Christ's blood was shed and applied that an old sinner that should have died and go to hell could be substituted as the righteousness of God could be placed on somebody else's unrighteous. You say, what do you do? Go west, young man. Right, go west. You say, preacher, how do you get saved? Well, here's the east. The sun's coming up. Turn your back on the sun. Head west. If you head north, it's chastisement. Get back heading west. If you go south, you're backslid. Get back in line, Abraham. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you something. God don't want you to go north. God does not want you to go north in chastisement. God does not want you to go east and love the sinner's well. God does not want you to go south and live a backslidden life. But God wants you to go west to the perfection of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all see that? God is a God of direction. God is a God of direction. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people headed in the wrong direction. There's some people here today that are headed east towards the sins of this world. There's some people here today that are saved, but they're headed north towards chastisement. There's some people tonight today are saved, but they're headed south to the land of backsliding. God said, get out of the east. Get out of the north, get out of the south, and head west. For that's where the blood is. God wants you in the perfect will of God. You are not in the perfect will of God as long as you're sinning. You're not in the perfect will of God as long as you're being chastised. You're not in the perfect will of God as long as you're being backslid. You're only in the perfect will of God as you're headed towards Jesus. There were 28 places in that Old Testament tabernacle that applied the blood. And every time they applied the blood, they got closer to the mercy seat. I'm telling you, God has one direction for you, and that's to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to have Him. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you a simple question. Which direction are you traveling? Are you traveling towards the sin of this world? Some, no doubt, are headed for chastisement. You're saved, but you've got sin in your life and you won't repent of it and God's going to chastise you. Some of you are backslide. You're living in a dry country. But you can come out of the south and come out of the north and come out of the east and head west. That's where God saves and sanctifies and thank God one day He's going to glorify. Which direction are you headed?